Today's first reading, another passage from the Old Testament book of Sirach, seems to fit very well today's saint. Today we honor Saint Paul the Sixth, Pope Paul the Sixth, who seems to be well described by this passage about a young man who was eager for wisdom and dedicated himself to seeking wisdom from his earliest years, who delighted in wisdom, who pursued wisdom, who followed wisdom, who was strongly devoted to wisdom. This is certainly Paul the Sixth. I know he has a kind of a mixed reputation in modern times, but if we know him and we know his personal pursuit of the will of God, you can see that he's well described here. Paul the Sixth was Pope from 1963 to 1978, which for me is my whole childhood. He's the first Pope that I remember. And I remember very well, I was in high school and when he died, and suddenly the name of the Pope inserted in the Sunday Mass was no longer Paul. It suddenly was John Paul. I remember how funny that sounded, because my whole life it had always been Paul, Paul our Pope. Pope Paul the Sixth, Saint Paul the Sixth, was also the first Pope to come to the Philippines. He was called by the Holy Spirit to preside over the church during a time of extraordinary upheaval. Actually, not only in the church, but in society. The 60s and the 70s were a time of upheaval. You could say revolution, social revolution, political revolution, even anthropological revolution. The real revolution of the 60s is the sexual revolution. The church, too, was undergoing big changes because of the Second Vatican Council. Paul VI became Pope in the middle of the council. The council had been begun, but it had not been completed, so he inherited this burden, and then he had to carry on or implement the decisions of the council. That's why people who reject the council think of Paul VI as the bad guy of the 60s. In fact, he was a very holy man and a wise pastor. One of the things that makes Paul the Sixth a hero and also an enemy is his promulgation of the encyclical Humanae Vitae, which reiterated the church's teaching about birth control, regulation of births. Before we get to that, though, I'd like to turn to the gospel because it's connected. The gospel brings up the question of authority. Authority. Who has the right to say what to whom, or who has the right to say what we can and can't do? This is the question that the leaders of the temple put to Jesus. By what authority are you doing these things? Who gave you this authority? Now, the reason why this is a question, remember, this is at the end of Jesus' public ministry. This is during Holy Week, just a couple days before he'll be arrested and executed. The chief priests and the scribes have already determined to kill him. So it's not as if they're asking a theoretical question or a test question. They're putting him on the spot. By what authority are you doing these things? Every adult Jewish man had a right to be in the temple precincts, could join in the prayers, could even teach or participate in the conversation, so that wasn't an issue. But as we heard in yesterday's gospel, Jesus did more than simply participate in the life of the temple. He took charge of the temple and he drove the vendors and the money changers out of the temple. He acted as if it was his own house or his father's house. So he acted in authority. And if you think about it, it is quite striking. He was one man who walked into the temple and said, get this out of here. And they did it. Why didn't they just throw him out of the temple? All the vendors could have ganged up on him and said, well, who are you? And get out of here. Tell us, who are you to tell us what to do? But they didn't. He spoke with such authority that what he said happened. Get these out of here. And they got out. Of course, their own guilty conscience probably was awakened, and they realized they had no way to defend themselves against this prophetic word of truth. But those who were really in charge of the temple, the chief priests and the scribes and the elders, are offended because, who's this guy? We're the ones in charge here. So where did you get the authority to do such a thing? Who gave you this authority? Jesus, instead of answering the question, brings up the question of John the Baptist. John the Baptist, remember, was from a priestly family. His father, Zechariah, was of the high priestly class. John had more of a right to speak in the temple than Jesus did by his lineage. But John didn't speak in the temple. John went out into the desert and he spoke in the name of God. He spoke as a prophet, and everybody knew he was a prophet. So the question of his authority, of John's authority, was a question of who is sent by God, not who is born of the right family. Jesus wasn't born of the right family in the eyes of the chief priests, but John was. Still, John's ministry didn't come from his inheritance. It came from God. Everybody knew it. So Jesus turns the question back to them and says, what about John? On what authority did he act? Was it heavenly or human? And it's a brilliant way of responding, because if they acknowledge that John has authority from heaven, then they open the door to the possibility that people can have authority from heaven, which is exactly where Jesus gets his authority. If they reject John, well, then they exclude themselves from the consensus of the people that John was a prophet sent by God. So they're stuck, and they won't commit themselves. That's why Jesus says, well, then I won't tell you, because you're not open to the possibility of authority coming from God. You're not willing to submit yourself to God's authority, so why should I put myself in your hands? Now, the question of authority is a very important one, very basic one. We're dealing with it all the time. We might not think about it in a theoretical sense or philosophical sense, but we're constantly dealing with who's in charge, who has the right to decide how we do things, and who can tell us what not to do. This is a daily experience in a society that is well-ordered or built on basic common sense. It's clear that there are right structures of authority, starting with God. Anyone who is a believer says, well, God is the highest authority over everything, but God does not hold to himself all the decisions. He entrusts authority to human institutions and individuals, the most obvious being parents over their families. That comes from God. Where do parents get the right to tell their children what to do? Well, it comes from God. That's why in societies that exclude God, they also tend to interfere with the authority of parents over their children. That's why in communist countries, the government decides what happens to the children, not the parents, because the government is the authority, the top authority. Okay, so parents have authority, governments have authority. Everyone recognizes that. Someone has authority over the running of the state. And each person has authority. We have authority over ourselves. That's what we know as free will. We decide for ourselves. No one forced you to come to Mass today. You decided for yourself. You took authority over your time and your schedule and your own person. Right. Now, I say that's in societies that are ordered, basically ordered or built on common sense. We don't live in ordered society anymore, or at least it's very rapidly unraveling, very rapidly nowadays, because the authority of God is questioned, and the reality of truth is questioned. So if there's no God and there's no such thing as truth, then who decides, and on what basis does anyone decide anything? Either it's the supreme ego, I just decide everything about reality for myself, or whoever is strongest decides everything. That's how authoritarian or totalitarian governments run things. They happen to have all the power, so they decide everything. Authority. The problem with removing God from the picture is that there's no solid ground for any authority anymore. Everything can be reevaluated and everyone can claim to have authority that they don't necessarily have. As I said, governments can dispute with parents. Even children now are getting the idea that they can contend with their parents, that their parents don't have any authority over them. You hear these cases, so children who sue their parents for sending them to the wrong school or something like that. Who is this child? And who gave this child the idea that he could contest his own father and mother? But that's the society we live in. Now, this brings me back to... Before I go to Paul VI, I think a great example of this is another favorite saint of mine, Saint Thomas More, the English martyr. The reason this fits, I think, or at least it came to mind as I was pondering this gospel about authority. Thomas More was a man in authority. He was placed in authority by the King of England, that's Henry VIII. And Thomas was the chancellor, so something like prime minister. But when King Henry VIII decided to violate the authority of the church, Thomas, who was a faithful Catholic, said, well, I won't have anything to do with it, I'll resign. So instead of contesting the authority of the king, he just backed off. And then when the king and the parliament made an act, a law that public officials had to make an oath of obedience to the king and to the king as the head of the church, Thomas said, well, I won't take that oath. I just won't say anything. And so he was arrested. Anyway, if you know the story of Thomas More, if you've ever seen that great movie, A Man for All Seasons, you might remember the very end when Thomas is on trial. The false witness is brought forth, Sir Richard Rich, and he's set up to testify that Thomas really publicly, he denied the right of the king. So it starts out this way. Richard Rich says, let me propose to you, Thomas, a case. What if the parliament declared that I was king? Would you accept that I was king? And Thomas says, sure. That would mean you would be king. And the parliament has the right, has the authority to determine who's the king in those days. And then Thomas says, I'll give you a higher case. What if the parliament were to decide that God is not God? Okay, obviously the parliament doesn't have authority over God. And then Sir Richard Rich says, I'll give you a middle case. What if the parliament determines that King Henry VIII is head of the church in England? And that was exactly the bone of contention in the trial. And of course, Thomas never said that. He was silent on that case, but the false witness, Richard Rich, said that he said no. Parliament had no authority to do that. So his testimony is what led to the execution of Thomas More. Now, the reason I bring up that story is because of the question of who has authority. The Parliament has authority to determine some things, but they can't determine that God is not God. And they also can't determine who's the head of the church. So that's the example that came to mind. And then this question comes up all through history. Look at in the Acts of the Apostles, when the apostles were arrested and brought before the Sanhedrin, and they said, well, you decide, is it better for us to obey God or men? Whose authority is higher, God's authority or man's authority? Of course, God's authority. But if once people eliminate God from the picture, well, then it's a question of which man's authority is higher. Okay, back to Paul VI. Paul VI faced this thorny question about artificial birth control. This is in the 60s, and there was a lot of clamor for changing the understanding of the church, the constant teaching of the church. And he, looking deeply into the matter, saw that the church has no authority over what God has decided. God is the one who united the unitive and the procreative dimensions of the Marriage Act. God did that. And so what God has joined, man has no right to separate. That's part of the core of Humanae Vitae, the famous encyclical. So Paul VI said, we can't change what God has decided. We don't have that authority. That was exactly what people did not want to hear. They wanted to hear, we can change that. We can change what God has said. In fact, the rebellion against Humanae Vitae was, the church can't tell me what to do. The church can't tell me and my spouse what we do in our bedroom. The church has no authority over my personal life. So it became a crisis of authority. Exactly the question, by what authority are you doing these things, or who gave you this authority to do them? People said to Paul VI, by what authority do you tell me I can't use contraception? And Paul VI's answer was, I'm not taking authority that doesn't belong to me. I'm the Pope. I'm speaking in the name of the Church and of Christ, and I'm saying that this is what God has done. Now, it doesn't force anybody, and as we know, many, many people do not accept or obey what is taught in Humanae Vitae, but that's to their own harm, because whenever we step outside the will of God or the authority of God, we harm ourselves and we harm one another. Okay, so the question of authority, which is what I've been pondering here, is a huge one. And we live in a society that almost instinctively resists authoritative voices. Who are you to tell me what to do? Who are you? And it's a hard question to answer. Well, who am I? I'm your father. Or in this case, I'm the priest. I'm the one who's giving this homily. I have the authority because I'm the one presiding here. But once a person has to justify himself by what authority he has, the argument becomes weakened. But in faith, we know God is the authority, and out of respect for God and what He has done, we guide our lives, which is at the very core of wisdom. We're back to the first reading, back where we started, in fact. Wisdom Wisdom is what guides us in the right path, shows us the way to happiness and to peace, to order, to justice. So, and Jesus is wisdom incarnate. So as we submit ourselves to the authority of God, as we follow as disciples of Jesus, we also welcome the wisdom that he gives us through the holy ones, the saints, St. Paul VI, St. Thomas More, and all the saints who submit themselves to the authority of God and act under his authority to reveal the truth to us.